Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
You don't just live in your home. You live in your neighborhood as well. So when you're shopping for a home, you want to know as much about the area around it as possible. Luckily, Homes.com has got you covered. Each listing features a comprehensive neighborhood guide from local experts. Everything you'd ever want to know about a neighborhood, including the number of homes for sale, transportation, local amenities, cultural attractions, unique qualities, and even things like median lot size and a noise score. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
DSW's semi-annual sale is back. Take 40% off all clearance shoes in stores for a limited time. Literally every single clearance item at your DSW store is on sale right now. Sneakers, sandals, any style. If they're on the clearance racks, they're 40% off. So what are you waiting for? Don't sleep on these savings. Get to DSW ASAP. It's all or nothing, people. Shop the DSW semi-annual sale today.
Good morning, everybody. Happy Thursday. Already. Yeah, Thursday already. Hard to believe, isn't it? But it is. It is Thursday. Today on a radio show, because it is Thursday. Well, we have an addition. We got John Martin, who we bumped yesterday, and he was deeply offended. But we bumped him. Whenever a world-famous comedian's going to come on the show, we're going to bump John Martin. That's just one of my fundamental principles. It's like, get the bread pudding, you know?
Always try the meatloaf.
And if a world famous comedian wants to come on your radio show, bump John Martin.
We're gonna make some room.
Yeah. So John's gonna join us in the next segment. And then Chris Harrington straight up at 10 o'clock. And then, because it's Thursday already, we're gonna play Rider Than Red Trivia. How you feeling about it, Jeffrey?
Jeff, we're told to be here and play. So
he will be here. He will play. And if someone can best Jeffrey, they will win.
Jeff, we got 4 tickets to the Italian Fest, of course, at Marquette Park. It begins today.
Yeah, that's great.
Also, if you'd like to get tickets, MemphisItalianFest.org. Also, kids 10 and under get in free.
Do you call it gravy yourself?
Sauce.
I call it sauce. The one time when I was a judge, and I obviously failed miserably at my judging duties because they've never invited me back to judge again. The one time I was a judge.
Is this why you got sent to?
Maybe I called it sauce. I said, this is really good sauce. And you could see that. I was like, that probably was the end of me right there.
Next thing you know, Jeff's watching mud wrestling.
Next thing you know, I was watching barbecue mud wrestling. I was sent there instead. Anyway, you don't actually have to best Jeffrey. You just have to play honorably. And so we will do that in the second hour as well. So John Martin, then Chris Harrington, and then Ryder, then Wright trivia. I did feel, Jeffrey, some remorse yesterday. It was National Burger Day. And we didn't mention it. Like, if we have a brand on this particular talk show, sports talk show in Memphis, let's be honest.
Lifestyle.
It's interest rates and burgers.
Yep.
Like, what are we special? Well, like, people have their sweet spots. You know, people have their things that they are deeply knowledgeable about. And for us, it's interest rates and burgers. And I didn't even mention the fact that it was National Burger Day. John Martin had to tell me later that I had missed National Burger Day. Maybe this is a sign that I've lost something off the fastball, Jeffrey.
No, I think it's a bigger societal problem. There's too many days.
Well, there's also too damn many burger days, right?
Correct.
There's a cheeseburger day apart from a burger day.
Well, I mean, this story was what truly infuriated me. Of course, yesterday was National Hamburger Day. So not Burger Day.
Is there a Burger Day? Is there not? There's not a separate burger.
I'm sure
day.
There's a cheeseburger day.
I'm sure there's a cheeseburger day. Go look it up. When is it? Let's make sure we don't miss it. Whatever we do, we don't want to fail twice, right? You know, that becomes a trend. So National Cheeseburger Day is it's got to be.
There's September 18th.
My birthday. That's perfect. That's all. I was just waiting for, because who would have a hamburger if you could have a cheeseburger? Isn't that true?
Lactose intolerant people, but I'm with you.
But you always get the cheeseburger.
The only time I go hamburgers, hamburger steak. But that's a different, to me, that's a
okay,
different
we'll
thing.
Okay, we'll do this then. Just because we missed it, you know, better late than never. Your favorite burger is the Huey's burger.
Belmont's up there.
But is your favorite
probably
the Huey burger?
Probably.
Huey's actually did a they did a bracket this, you know, NCAA tournament time. And their bracket was the different burgers on the Huey's menu.
Yep.
Right? And which burger do you get at the...
I usually just go the straight Huey burger and add bacon.
Straight? And what is it? What is on a Huey burger?
I go cheddar cheese, sesame seed, and then I usually just do... lettuce, tomato, pickle.
So I want to go back.
Mustard, not mayo, obviously.
And get the smoky melt burger.
That's my mom's favorite.
I've heard great things about the smoky melt burger, and I've never had it.
My mom loves the smoky melt.
Okay, so let me describe it, people. Our version of the patty melt with smoked cheddar cheese on buttered toasted wheat bread. Choose from mayo, lettuce, tomato, mustard, pickle, and onion. So it's a patty melt, only it's a smoky melt. That sounds pretty good to me. So anyway, I like that. I love the Belmont burger. It's on French bread.
Yep.
And that's really, really good. I haven't been to Alex's Tavern in a long, long time, but I do recall
that. No, it's a great burger.
That was a great burger. I'm of the view, I mean, Tops obviously has a good burger. People talk about, I like Tops. I really like Tops. I'm a fan of Tops. People talk about that Tops burger so what's really great is the Tops burger. I'd honestly just soon have Tops barbecue. Like, it's a burger. It's a good burger. But I almost think, like, you know how we say that the rendezvous...
Jeff, there's some heroes out there that go for
go
both.
Well, maybe that's the way to do it. Some people say that about the rendezvous, that they say it's overrated so often that you and I both believe it's underrated. I think the opposite of the Tops burger. It's a good burger. It's a good burger, but I don't think it's top five burger in the city.
That's probably fair. I mean, in the end, it is a fast food burger. It's like,
you get a drive through.
Right. There's a ceiling.
Right. It's competing. I'm not putting in the same category as the Belmont burger. It's just a different thing. It's a very good fast food burger.
R.I.P. Houston's used to have a very good burger. Hog and Hominy's burger's good. Now, the problem is I haven't...
That's the one, what do they call it? The John T.
John T.
The John T. They used to... Do they still do, like, you can only get it the way they serve it?
Yeah.
You can only get it with whatever it is, mustard and ketchup
The problem that I have is I'm not an onions guy.
You can only get it the way they serve it. I don't mind it because they don't put eggplant on it. That's the only thing I don't eat. But anyway, happy Burger Day belatedly. To those who celebrate.
Well, no, this was the story, though, that infuriated me. Yesterday, of course, was National Hamburger Day. So
yeah.
DoorDash looked at the most popular types of burgers in all 50 states.
Did you talk about it on your show?
No, I just saw this yesterday.
I was going to say, if the fact that you didn't bring it up.
No, I would never. Please.
That's treachery. Yes.
But right off
behind
the
my back. Yeah, go ahead. Most popular what?
The DoorDash claims the chicken burgers are now the most popular type of burger in the U.S.
That's the stupidest thing ever. It's not a chicken burger is not a burger.
I'm with you.
A chicken burger is a chicken sandwich.
Chicken sandwich.
But this is the
but then what do we? Okay,
you know what I
what
really
we,
like?
But
you know
what about
I really
ground,
like? I really
ground chicken.
Like, I like the Reuben burger. I'm a big fan of the Reuben burger. The BLT burger. I love the BLT burger. And that's stupid. The burger club. No, it's a burger.
No, I agree with you on chicken sandwich. If it's a chicken breast, I would never order this. But, like, what are we doing with people that...
What are you doing with veggie burgers?
Well, like,
are they calling them burgers?
Ground chicken, when they do ground chicken into a patty. Is that a different thing?
Oh.
That's not what they're talking
about. Okay, well, here's the thing. We do call, very clearly, we do call veggie burgers veggie burgers.
Yep.
Right? That is common part. We call it, and here's the thing, very close relationship to chicken, turkey burgers.
We have them.
We have turkey burgers. So if you have turkey burgers, can you not also have chicken burgers?
It has to be ground chicken in a patty.
I think it has to be ground chicken in a patty. If it's ground chicken in a patty, and I simply do not believe, if DoorDash is telling me that is ordered more than their DoorDash is lying.
No chance.
It's fraudulent.
No chance.
That is fake news. Yep. There is no way that the chicken burger, which is, sounds disgusting, is an actual thing. So they're lying to us.
Yep.
So, yeah. All right. Enough of that. I did want to say a word. I wrote a column about Reggie Barnes, who passed away earlier this week. And you can read the piece that I wrote about him. Here's the thing. Here's how you know how people feel about Reggie Barnes. I don't have Archie Manning's phone number. I didn't. Like, I've talked to him before over the years. And the last time I actually talked to him was because Spook Murphy was, he was inducted into the College Football Hall of Fame, and he was a big proponent of that. And but I don't keep his phone number around. And I knew that Archie and Reggie were close. And so I reached out to some people yesterday and I said, hey, if Archie wants to say a few words about Reggie for the column, you feel free to give him my number. And of course, the next thing you know, it was Archie Manning on the phone, because that's how he felt. He wanted to pay tribute to his friend, Reggie Barnes. And the list of people like, like Jimmy Sexton called me back. And Jimmy Sexton, at one point, there the sports agency with Kyle Rote and Jimmy Sexton was part of Morgan Keegan.
Yep.
And Reggie Barnes was sort of the Morgan Keegan
wing
person
of it, yeah.
who oversaw that. Reggie was not cutting deals with NFL players or coaches or whatever else.
Managing their money,
but
usually.
He was sort of... Yeah, and he was managing Jimmy to the extent that,
sure,
you know, what one can, and Kyle. So he was involved in that. He was sort of the corporate go-between with Morgan Keegan and that group. But then, and then they split off on their own and you know, went their separate ways. But Jimmy called me because Jimmy wanted to say some words about him, and on and on and on. I just kept getting calls from folks who wanted to pay tribute to Reggie Barnes. And Reggie, it's interesting, is that when I moved to Memphis in 96, literally the first person I met with to sort of get a handle on Memphis sports,
the lay of the land,
was Reggie Barnes. And why? Like, it's hard to know exactly. He's a little bit like World Wide West in that,
sure,
in that you never quite knew. Right.
What the role?
What the title? Like, he had lots of titles at various points. He was active with the Liberty Bowl. He was head of that, you know, the Liberty Bowl selection committee. He was head of the golf tournament for a while. He was chairman of the sports authority for a while. He was he did lots of things. He brought the NC, hard to believe now, people may forget this, that the SEC basketball tournament was here 2 years. Kentucky won both of those years. He brought that to town. Also, and this was unfolding just as I got here, there was a 3-game series between Tennessee, Arkansas, and Ole Miss football teams played at the Liberty Bowl where they would rotate.
Yep.
Like one time it was Tennessee and Ole Miss, one time it was Tennessee and Arkansas, and one time it was Arkansas and Ole Miss. Did you go to any of those games?
I was at the Tennessee-Ole Miss game. I don't remember if I was at the Arkansas game.
So he was deeply involved in that. He was involved in the Grizzlies coming in a more peripheral way because he was the head of the sports authority at the time, and they had to do the bonds through the sports authority. And so in that way, he was involved in the Grizzlies. But he just, like, he was a guy who was, he was an incredible ambassador for Memphis. He grew up here. He went to Mesick High School. Mesick. See, I'm an interloper after all. He went to, what's interesting is, in the obit, it's misspelled though. And I did at least Google it to make sure it's two S's.
Proud of you.
So there you go. So what's really sort of bittersweet was, maybe not even much sweet, is that when George Lapidus signed off from his radio show, which he's done for decades and decades and decades, Reggie Barnes was one of two people who showed up at George's last show and with a bottle of champagne. Everyone was like I think Cal was on that last show. Cal called in, and I know Archie Manning called in. That happened as well. But George was of ill health, and so Reggie and Keith Ingram brought a bottle of champagne to the radio studio to celebrate with George as he was signing off. And George died just literally 2 months later of idiopathic pulmonary fibrosis. And what do you know that 9 years later, that's what Reggie Barnes died of, the same hideous disease claimed Reggie Barnes. Bubba Luckett has the same disease. Mal Moore, former Alabama administrator and coach, he had it as well. And so that was a bittersweet twist on all this. But what really struck me as I was just reflecting and doing some reporting on Reggie and his impact and his life is I talked to Kelly English from Iris in the second line. And, like, he's not a sports guy. He's an Ole Miss guy. But he didn't know Reggie. He had opened Iris. It's a perilous thing to open a restaurant in a new town. Like, we think of Kelly English as a Memphian now and a guy who really believes and does good things for this city. And I think all of that's true. But at one point, he was just a guy who had moved here and was opening a restaurant.
Yep.
And he said to me, he said, when I moved to Memphis, he was one of our first guests. When I think back to when I got here, he is one of the first people who made me feel I was a part of Memphis. When I think of who I am as a Memphian now, I think about him as my lead fullback in teaching me how to do and not do things in Memphis. It's one thing to be the funniest guy and the most well-liked guy, and that's what Reggie Barnes was, and to be a person of, you know, who got to be in the rooms where it happens, as it says. You know, that's
sure.
But it's another thing to bring other people in, right? To bring other people in and to connect
welcome
other people and to be in the truest sense of hospitality, to be extending. He didn't just believe in Memphis. He believed in sharing what he loved about Memphis with everybody. And one of the things I actually do, I was talking to some of the people I talked to yesterday, we sort of worried about how many Reggie Barneses are coming along now. You know, we need people who are successful in this city who help volunteer and pitch in and promote and do things for the city. And we have had generation of them, you know, Fred Smith and Pitt Hyde and, you know, on and on and on from there. Mike Rose and Reggie didn't have that level of, you know, wealth and success from that perspective, but
he had the sweat equity.
Do we? Yeah, like that's the thing. We need people who not only do well, but who want to help others do well and help their community well, and that's what Reggie Barnes did. He did it through the prism of sports, but not only sports. You know, Kelly English said he was the first person to lift him up when the restaurant was great. But also, like when they moved Iris,
yep.
And he said, some things are being lost in the translation. He was the first person to kick him in the rear and say, these things need to be fixed. And that's what a friend does. And Reggie Barnes was a true friend of Memphis. He was also, like, this is just true. He was of a time when so much depended on relationships, when
sure.
relationships mattered. Like, back in the day, this is hard to believe a little bit. Bear Bryant coached his final bowl game here, not because Alabama had a contract with the Liberty Bowl or anything else. He played his final bowl game, coached his final bowl game, and he died shortly thereafter at the Liberty Bowl. Why? Because when he was at Alabama, his first bowl game at Alabama was at the Liberty Bowl. It was when he was in Philadelphia, but it was at the Liberty Bowl. And he's a sentimental guy, and he liked the liberal people, and he said, listen, we started here.
The bookend.
We're going to end here. Like, relationships mattered. And here we have the SEC down there on, you know, in Florida, carving up the next world, the future of college football, and it's just TV executives matter. Like, it is
optimization in general.
It is just and again, dollars have always mattered.
Right.
And to be clear, there were imperfect things then too.
Sure.
Particularly when it comes to diversity and equity and all those things. There were imperfect things there too. Cronyism. Yes. Dollars mattered, but they weren't everything.
Correct.
Of course dollars mattered. People wanted to make money and make money for themselves.
Be able to pay for the event, whatever it was.
But let's be honest. The bowl system has never maximized dollars.
It's not maximizing profit.
To some extent, some would say that it's maximized dollars for the people who organize the bowls, like the bowl, the
committees or whatever.
The actual bowls themselves.
Bowl reps.
Pretty good deal for the bowl people. But that was a time when relationships were really important. And now you can have whatever relationships you want. But if your dollar sign, if your stack of dollars isn't as high as that stack of dollars, I mean, hell, we live in a universe where they just destroyed an entire storied conference on the West Coast.
Yeah.
How much do relationships matter? Not at all. Not at all.
That's not like... It was not like it was USC's
tradition,
relationship with Fox.
Right. Nothing. The only thing that matters now is whose stack of dollars is higher.
Brand
and all of this. And I don't know that we are better for it. But anyway, Reggie Barnes was a great Memphian, and we need more like him. And so it was certainly a privilege and a pleasure. To have known him.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
I've never felt like this before. It's like you just get me. I feel like my true self with you. Does that sound crazy? And it doesn't hurt that you're gorgeous. Okay, that's it. I'm taking you home with me. I mean, you can't find shoes this good just anywhere. Find a shoe for every you from brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at your DSW store or DSW.com.
All right, Jeffrey, we do have, we did have results last night, and it's interesting.
One game was good.
Yeah. How do you feel if you're Minnesota now? Like, let's be honest, is the difference here Minnesota just happened to run into Oklahoma City later than the Grizzlies? Here's the truth. They each lost 4 games to Oklahoma City. Minnesota lost the 4 games by 71. The Grizzlies lost the 4 games by 78. And by the way, they played they had to play a game and a half without their best player. So like I've been saying all along, same tier, and I've gotten some pushback on it, but I continue to believe same tier. This all looked very familiar. It was 65-32 at the half. 65.
They had 9 points in the first quarter.
In the half, they had 9 points in the first quarter. Ant had 6. the rest of the team, 3 points in the first quarter on 1 of 15 shooting. And by the way, this is a Minnesota team that from March 2nd until they played Oklahoma City, right? From March 2nd until they played Oklahoma City, they were 25-6. 25-6. And then they play Oklahoma City and they get blown out 4 games by cumulatively 71 points. I don't think people are grappling with how freaking good Oklahoma, maybe they are, but how good Oklahoma City is. This is a team that 68 wins in the regular season is fifth best in league history. Now through the playoffs, they have 80 wins in 98 games.
Yep.
They're destroying people. Absolutely destroying people. They're making people curl up in a field position. You know, like Julius Randle was having a great playoff until he ran into the Thunder. Rudy Gobert was, how do you like the trade now?
Yep.
Until he ran into the Thunder. Ant was the future face of the NBA until he ran into the Thunder. So what do you, and here's what's happened. I do believe this is what's going to happen. When they play either the Knicks or the Pacers, and it certainly looks like it's going to be the Pacers, they beat both of those teams in the regular season 2-0. They have 17 more wins than the Knicks and 18 more wins than the Pacers.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'll look a lot like this. I mean, I think what we're going to realize is the team that gave them the best fight was Denver, and it was not necessarily the team, it was Jokic. Because outside of that, I presume the next three series, I presume the Grizzlies series, this Western Conference Finals and the NBA Finals, I think those three series are all going to look pretty much the same.
It is interesting. It's again, we've said this before. It's the Grizzlies' own fault. They shouldn't have been playing the Thunder in the first round.
Totally.
It's their own fault. And the truth of the matter is, if they'd gotten a different draw, they probably never would have played the Thunder. There are circumstances where they could have even won a round and still never played the Thunder because they would have lost the next round, right?
Like, sure.
They didn't have to suffer this humiliation, but they will not be the only team to suffer this humiliation once they play the Thunder. Again, it's their own fault. They did it to themselves, but they are not going to. And when you lose this badly, it distorts your view of yourself.
For sure.
Right? It like right now, you're like, what do you do if you're Minnesota? If you're Minnesota, you just had a great year. You went back to the Western Conference Finals 2 years in a row. Like, that is a great year. Again, you were, since March 2nd, you were 25-6. You've got a future superstar on your team, or a current superstar on your team, a developing superstar on your team. But now, you're like, ah. Oh. You got Julius Randle with a player option. You got Naz Reid. Alexander Walker, both of those guys are facing contract issues.
Keeping all three.
And you're like, do we keep them when we suck? You know what I mean? Like, all they get us is a team that gets creamed like this. We're not paying for this. They probably wouldn't have anyway, but it makes you hate yourself. When you lose this badly, it makes you hate yourself. We saw that with the way people reacted to the end of the Grizzlies season. People just like, they can't possibly bring these three back. This is an awful team. It's the worst team ever. I just saw them get blitzed. It's sort of what happens when you lose in this humiliating fashion. And so, I don't know. The truth of the matter is, the Grizzlies are in better position to run all their best players back than Minnesota is.
For 1 year, yeah.
For 1 year. Yeah, well, we'll see what happens with, obviously we'll see what happens with Jaren, but it wasn't a fun watch. I'll be honest, I flipped it off. Did you hang in there for the entirety?
It got moved to a side TV. Okay. I didn't need the sound.
It did not need the sound. So that happens. We got the Pacers and Knicks tonight. Now, if you want to hold out hope for the Knicks, there are 13 times that in the NBA playoffs, the teams have come back from down 3-1. That's not an insignificant number. That's real. That's not once.
It's not like a this is impossible.
Okay. Here's more good news. 8 of the 13, the team that came back was the team that had home court advantage.
Yep.
As the Knicks do. So they'll get you know,
the remaining three, they have to win three, but they get two at home.
So 8 of the 13, 8 were the team with home court advantage. 3 was the team that didn't have home court advantage. And when I read the stat, I'm like, well, that only gets me to 11. There were 13 times it happened. Twice it happened in the bubble.
Mm.
Denver in the bubble.
Okay, and so maybe we should remove those.
So we aren't counting those. So those are the other two. But 8 times.
But still, 11 times.
Okay, here's the problem. Well, it's still, I think it's 13 times. I still think it's 13. But so here's the problem. So they have home court advantage. York hasn't been good at home. They're 3-5 in the playoffs.
They lost
at home.
They lost to the Pistons.
They lost to the Pacers. They're 3-5.
Yeah.
So you got to get me to 5 losses at home. The Pacers, by contrast, 6-1 on the road.
They lost twice to Detroit at home. They lost once to Boston at home and twice to
Indiana. There's your 5. There's your 5. So we will see what happens there. Other NBA news. Turns out, by the way, David Adelman did have a presser. Remember,
you sent me the video. Yeah.
Yesterday we were talking about, like, well, they're not going to. David Adelman, they elevated from being an interim head coach to being the head coach. And I'm like, okay, well, maybe it wasn't so unreasonable that we didn't get an Isolo presser. And sure enough, yesterday they had the Adelman thanking everybody. Big got the job. They did the whole thing.
Did he get to hold up a jersey?
I didn't know. He didn't seem to be holding up a jersey.
Is that going by the wayside?
I don't know the hold up. If you're a coach, because you don't wear a jersey. Did Jenkins even hold up a jersey?
Usually someone will always hold up like a Grizzlies jersey.
They were not embarrassed of their hire, evidently. And so they did have a presser for Adelman. And then did you see the where are you on the subject of dads? I'm pro dad.
Yeah,
I'm pro dad. Shea Gillis Alexander's dad. Did you see his dad after he was Shea Gillis Alexander? His dad had the trophy.
Did he get in the face of Anthony Edwards?
What?
Did he get in the face of Anthony Edwards?
He was no, but he was. Shea had to say, "You're acting like this is yours." That's what you see. He said he was sort of juggling it and whatever else and what he was a dad. Oh, only having a good time. Like, it was purely only having a good time.
Yeah.
There was no in the face of anybody. There was nothing inappropriate. What's been your experience watching dads, sports dads, over the years? Do you think dads get a bad... Like, most dads are reasonable, right? Most dads are just supportive and reasonable.
It depends in what context. When I was umpiring, it was never very good.
Okay, but even then, when you umpired when?
During college, like my last 3 years of college.
Okay. And you umpire at what level? Who are you umpiring?
High level, like youth baseball.
Okay. And do you think it was bad because 3 of the 100 dads that you dealt with were bad? Or do you think like a high proportion of dads are jackasses?
I think a high proportion of dads are jackasses in that setting. It's also, you know, like when you get into the summer, it's hot, everybody's irritated and whatnot. Because it also wasn't like, well, maybe you're a bad umpire. They were trying to fast track me into being a high school umpire, and I did not want to do it.
Is simply heckling an umpire, that's a terrible call. Is that at a high school level, is that bad?
No, it's not that. Like, the way that, like, they're aggressive and, like, they're threatening, it's that. If you want to heckle, like... You know,
come on up.
Put your glasses on or something like that. Like, whatever. Okay. Like, I mean,
that's almost a tradition.
Yeah, like, right? I can tune that out. Like, I've.
But so it was. It's much worse than that.
Correct. Like, I had one set of parents. I'm umpiring one of the worst, like, tournaments I ever did. Like, this was barely above. This was like church ball for kids that wanted to play more games. And I had two parents come up to me because I called them out on strikes. That I was ruining his chances of a college scholarship. And I just looked back at her and I go, man, my brother's on a college scholarship. You'll be okay.
It's I mean, we've had a lot of dads. You know, we also had the Caleb Williams. Caleb Williams yesterday spoke to the media about the book that had come out suggesting he did not want to be a Chicago Bear. And the source for most of that information
is his dad.
Is his dad, right?
With his name on it.
With his name. Yeah, this was his.
I mean, to a certain degree, I do tip my cap. Like, hey, man, he put his name on it.
And I thought Caleb Williams was really good talking about his dad.
No, I agree.
Like, I love my dad. My dad's a smart guy. Whatever. He said, I shut him down. He said, I shut my dad down quite a bit. You know,
no,
he also said there's a time and a place. I actually thought he handled it very well. Cause the other thing he said was that he didn't deny it. He didn't say they made up quotes or anything else. What he said was, yes, there was a time during the draft process when I wondered if I wanted to be a Chicago Bear, because no Chicago Bear has ever thrown for 4,000 yards.
Does anyone think that was a unreasonable position?
And then when I came and visited, I decided I want, and that's consistent with what the book said, actually.
Yeah.
When I came and visited, I decided I wanted to be here, and I love it here.
Yeah.
He didn't try to, you know, throw the author under the bus. He didn't try to throw his dad under the bus. I thought he handled it very well. And let's be honest. Over-the-top involved dads are better than absent dads.
I totally agree.
Right?
I'd rather them be there.
Yeah. So it is tough, man. My kids were, let's be clear, not high-level athletes. Okay? But it is both the most fun. Among the things I enjoyed most as a parent, I loved reading to my kids when they were little. Just loved it. Like, that was one of the greatest things. It could get a little much when they keep, at the end, they're bribing you for more books to stay up later and later and later. And you've read, you know, I think Dr. Seuss is overrated. Sorry. Maybe I'll be shut down. Maybe I'll be canceled for saying that.
Thank you.
But like, you read the BFG by Roald Dahl to your kids and use the voices. There's nothing better. There's just nothing better than reading a great children's book to your kids. But then watching your kids compete in sports is just so much fun. Also, there is nothing more. I mean, you think I'm bad with the Bills, right? It's the stakes could not have been lower, right? Like, Ben playing tennis for Lausanne is not exactly, this is not the
you're not
French Open here, or Peter out there running cross country out there at Shelby Farms. But it is such a, you really feel like it is, I mean, it's like it's your heart out there competing, you know, like, and people talk about parenthood as the decision to have your heart existing outside your body, you know, and so I totally get being over-involved, because it's excruciating. It's absolutely excruciating.
I can understand that. The problem that I always had is there's a difference between being involved and even overly involved and living vicariously through them. It's like,
oh, there's no question.
There's so
it's
many.
It's not my accomplishment. Yeah, right.
There's so many people that you can tell it's like this is my biggest problem with T. Like, I think T thinks he's an NBA player.
Right. Well, and you contrast that with Archie.
Yeah.
Right? You know, who was an NFL.
But on top of that, like, Archie got involved in Eli. I mean, you know what I mean?
No. He was the over-involved.
Same thing
dad.
With Jack Elway. And they got involved.
No, they got highly involved. And anyway. All right. We are going to take a break. We got John Martin on the other side. Then Chris Harrington. Then Writer Than Write Trivia. We're giving away tickets to the Italian Fest, which begins today at Marquette Park. It's Jeff Calkins Show on Thursday, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Want to pull off the season's freshest trends? You just need the right shoes. That's where Designer Shoe Warehouse comes in. Loving wide leg jeans? Pair them with sleek, low-profile sneakers. Obsessed with the sheer trend? Try it with mesh flats. Feeling boho? Comfy sandals nail the whole free-spirited thing. Find on-trend shoes from the brands you love, like Birkenstock, Nike, Adidas, and more at DSW.
All right, back on the Jeff Calkins Show, joined now by John Martin. Jason and John, every single day from 11 to 2, I'm a avid listener myself, and I want to start by apologizing to John because yesterday we had Roy Wood Jr. on, and I bumped John. I'll be honest. I said, listen, who's funnier? You know, I said, John's very funny, but who's got the higher profile? And I just threw you under the bus in the end, and I apologize.
Yeah, no, I respect that. I mean, I think it's a lot easier to be funny when you're not expected to be funny, you know? People don't necessarily expect a sports radio host to be funny. They you know, they expect the comedian to be funny. There's a lot
of pressure. You think you're funny?
Oh, I think I'm elite funny. But again, it's like,
okay,
you know,
let me ask you this.
If I was a stand-up comedian, you know, would I be funny? I don't know.
Let's do a top three funniest people on 92.9.
I would go myself number one. I would go you number two.
Oh, really? You think I'm funny? That's nice.
You're hilarious.
Funny. Yeah.
Hilarious.
It's sort of a dry humor.
You're not as funny as me.
Fishman, you're going Fishman third. He's not funny.
Oh, we're using contributors?
You could use contributors.
I'm going to go Herd third.
Herd's pretty funny. Jeffrey, do you think Herd's funny? Of your co-hosts, who's the funniest?
Probably Herd.
Herd is the funniest? I admire funny. I do admire funny, but anyway, I sincerely, no funny business at all. I apologize for not having you on. I always look forward to your segment, and I was hoping that when you, joined me, you could tell me who William Wharton is.
Still doing recon on that.
Yes,
we're still trying to figure that part of it out. But he's a reserve big. That, you know, obviously you look at Memphis's roster, they need depth at that spot. And I think that's just kind of what that is. I mean, I'm sure he's coming here for practically nothing. You know, I mean, he probably wasn't getting anything in terms of NIL at South Dakota State. It probably wasn't, you know, even because it wasn't going to go back. And so he gets, you know, literally anything from a place like Memphis. Obviously, he's going to take that. So, but I think the goal is just, the idea here is just he's a reserve big, like a Dink Yates or something along.
But the problem is, that would be great if they had starting bigs, right? You can have a reserve big.
Yeah.
You can have Jay Huff, right? When you have Jaren Jackson, you know what I mean? Like, but the problem is they don't have, like. So is this an act of desperation? Are we? Where's your Dane Danger confidence meter right now?
Well, I mean, I think honestly, my assumption is if Dane plays, it's going to be a situation where it's through the courts. I mean, I guess there's a word where he gets a waiver, but it just doesn't feel like there's a lot of momentum towards that right now, you know, based on the actions that other players are taking.
The courts got their hands full, man. Courts got their hands full these days. Yeah. The courts are like, yesterday was the tariffs, you know, like the courts are busy. The courts are busy.
Yeah, well, you know, because Harvard just keeps suing.
Yeah, I know, that litigious society such as it is. Anyway,
I wish you guys would just take it.
Just take it.
Take it like you're supposed to.
Is there? Are you hopeful of another big?
I mean, I don't know. Like, hopeful in terms of, like, do I care whether or not they get them? No, I don't. I mean, they need another big. Like, I. whether it's, you know, they probably need two. But, you know, if we assume that Dane's not coming, or not coming, but, you know, getting his
the courts are not going to intervene on his behalf.
Right. Whatever, however you want to put it, you know, there is, I mean, it's just non-negotiable. They're going to have to get another big man. And, you know, listen, I plugged this into Torv yesterday, you know, kind of looking out at the landscape. And imagine my surprise when I learned that Memphis, is not the highest team in the AAC.
Wait, Memphis, say that again. You're breaking up kind of. Memphis, what? Memphis, without adding anyone else, is the highest ranked team in the AAC?
Is not. They're second.
Really?
Behind South Florida and first year coach Brian Hodgson. Even with Dane, they're only about four spots ahead of the South Florida team at T-Ray. So I think it kind of shows you that even this idea, right, that Memphis can be the big spender in AAC and everything will be fine, you know, even that is being challenged now. I think it should be a wake-up call to the administration that
what does that mean, though? What, the wake-up and do what? What's the wake-up
call? The status quo with NIL is not going to be enough, most likely.
Okay, I mean, a wake-up call that they have to figure out a way, one way or another, to get the basketball program more NIL money. Is that what you're saying?
You have to give them more. Because even $4 to $4.5 million is like, you know, even with Dane, again, barely ahead of South Florida right now.
Where's that nationally with Dane?
57th. Ugh. And South Florida's 61.
Here's what's weird. It feels like last year we assumed that no matter who they brought in, it was going to things were going to be toxic because they just had been, right? Like what we just saw was going to happen again. And so there wasn't actually that much faith or interest in the incoming class last year. And they turned out to have a great year, right? Very good year. Very good year, right? And now it almost feels like it's the opposite. We saw what happened last year with a bunch of guys who we didn't particularly pay attention to. And I know you were a little skeptical of PJ. And so now we're just assuming the opposite. We're assuming, you know, Penny's going to figure it out. He started a whole new team last year, got a whole new team this year. But I don't think it is true, and you can correct me if I'm wrong, that this class is to the same level of accomplishment as the incoming class last year.
Oh, yeah. I mean, it's definitely not. I mean, it's definitely not. You don't have the AAC Freshman of the Year or the equivalent of that. You don't have a four-year starter at point guard coming in and Tyrese Hunter. You know, there's a couple guys I could see, like, making a Dane jump. You know, like, Sincere Parker and Zach Davis could make I'll say more like Zach Davis because he was in the SEC. Curtis Gibbs was in the SEC. Like, those guys could come to Memphis in the AAC. You know, even in Aaron Bradshaw, right? Like, he was he was a five-star prospect, right. The top 10 guy was, you know, come to Memphis, you're in the lot, you know, you're in the AAC, like you could look like a lottery pick against this competition. That's what happened with Dane. I mean, he was a reserve and like the book on Dane was like he would kill the low-level opponents, and then when he would get to, you know, against the better teams of the Big Ten, like he wasn't nearly as good and playable. Like, it's kind of the same idea. But you're just, like you said, like you're kind of coming to the table with less proven, you know. I with or without Dane, it's a bubbly team. I mean, T-Rank, it's a bubbly team. Right. But with Dane, obviously, it should still be good enough to win the American.
Stephon Diggs, and I know you spent time on this on your show yesterday, helped me analyze this video as a girl dad. Stephon Diggs is on a boat and there's some young women around him and there's some whatever dancing and twerking going on the boat. And then he pulls out something and there's some pink substance involved in it. And he's now, the Patriots are being having to ask questions. They gave him a three-year deal for $63.5 million. Mike Vrabel says, we want to make great decisions on and off the field. What's happening in that video? Tell me. I'm 63.
Well, so all of this is like speculative. We don't necessarily know, right? We don't know for 100% fact. So right. I wanted like just to cover myself.
Why did the video get out? Wouldn't you? Is that not a, as we used to say in the old days, party foul?
Definitely a party foul. So they're on this boat. Cardi B is, as you know, Cardi B is Stephon Diggs' love interest.
Yeah, at the time.
You know, and Cardi B, as you also should know, I mean, you should know this. It was a stripper in a former life.
Okay, I wasn't aware of her. I wasn't aware of her. Yeah. Her didn't know that. No.
Sorry, exotic dancer.
Okay.
And so obviously, like, she is all about that, you know, life, right? Like, she likes to dance, likes to party, she likes to, you know, do all these things. And now she's with Stephon Diggs, and now she's got a career, and they both have a lot of money, right? So they have this yacht, and they invite, you know, Cardi B invites all her friends, you know, because that's what you do. You invite your friends out.
I would if I had a boat. Yeah. And friends. And so, if I had a boat and friends, I'd do that.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And so they get on this boat, and they're partying. And Stephon Diggs is on the boat, and he's having a great time. And interesting heated conversations with what appear to be three or four of Cardi B's friends. He's telling one of them, call me daddy, as if like she's asking for something, and he's saying, I'll give it to you if you call me daddy, right?
Yeah.
And then eventually she must do it because he pulls out this little bag with the pink substance. And again, as you should know, a pink substance like that is usually going to be known as Tusi, which is a powdery substance.
Tusi?
Yep, like 2C, right?
T-W-O-C?
It's spelled T-U-I-S-I, but it's pronounced like 2C.
Okay.
All yeah, right. And so basically that's a combination of like you're going to have your ketamine, your ecstasy. You know, people call it pink cocaine. There's no cocaine.
Really?
Yeah.
Pink cocaine is not cocaine.
Right, but it's not safe. It's definitely not safe. But, you know, it's a party drug, right? It's a party drug. And it's what you, like, if you're on a boat and you had, like, a lot of money and you didn't, like, and you had, like, the music going, like, the EDM and the Avicii and everything. Like,
yeah,
perfect. It's the kind of drug that if you were going to do that, you'd want to use, right? So, there you have it. So, Stephon Diggs basically, like, you know, he's out there, like, you know, big meech, man.
What does that mean?
Larry Hoover, who just got pardoned, I think. I think Trump just pardoned him, right?
Yeah, we used to do a bit on the show back. I think you were the producer then. When I would occasionally read rap lyrics, that was a classic. Jeff Calkins.
You retired that.
I did retire it. You know, I retired. That was. Is he going to, are there going to be repercussions for Stephon Diggs? Probably not. Because you can't prove that it's Tusi.
I think there will be an investigation for sure. Just because it was on video, you know, like I don't see how the NFL just doesn't investigate that. I mean, I'm not sure that they'll find anything, you know, because he could just say that wasn't mine or whatever, whatever. But I would just be shocked if, like, the NFL is going to stand by and just, like, be, like, cool with, you know. I mean, you're going to at least ask the questions, like, what was that? You know what I mean? So I do think there will be an investigation.
What could it have been? What's an innocent explanation for what a pink substance you would have in a boat is?
Honestly, I don't know. I mean, I couldn't even give you an answer. I'm glad I don't have to come up with
one. You know what it was? It was Pop Rocks. Are you familiar with Pop Rocks?
Pop Rocks.
It's Pop Rocks.
The ladies love Pop Rocks.
Yeah, they put them on your tongue and they go, oh, that's what you would have on a boat. If you were doing the things you would do on a boat, you know, who is it? Who were we listening to again? Who would you say we were listening to?
When?
Okay, on the boat. Who you say you had to hear if anyway?
Oh, we'd be listening. Like, it just depends on the mood you're in, but just to beat you.
Yeah, that's
let's
it.
Just say
yeah.
We're doing it.
And then here's what you do. You say, I got my Pop Rocks here, and I was a young woman, and I say, call me daddy. And she says she calls me daddy, and so then I give her the Pop Rocks. And she said,
now, what people don't know is that I asked you yesterday if you would have used the drug if Stephon Diggs was still a Bill.
Right. And then the answer said no.
I don't want to share your answer,
right,
but
right.
You think you know people, and you just don't.
John, thanks for coming on a day late and a dollar short, but I appreciate it. Thanks, man.
Okay, man. Yep.
That's John Martin. Jeffrey, do you believe there will be repercussions? And you are you familiar with the word Tusi?
I learned about it yesterday. Like I think a lot of people. I think he's got to go with the Himalayan sea salt, like that you get at Costco. I think that's got to be that pink
that's
sea salt.
Pink.
Yeah,
I like Pop Rocks though, because that's more fun.
Yeah,
it's more befitting the mood on a boat.
Mm-hmm.
Right.
I think
you wouldn't need Himalayan sea salt.
I think I agree with John. I think it's going to be difficult to prove anything. So my
do they need to prove things? Did they prove the balls were inflated? Were deflated? Do they really need to prove things?
Well, I don't
can
know.
Can they just
like,
but believe were there, things?
There's are really like other owners going to make a stink about this?
It's the Pats. Maybe if we're a team that's going to threaten for the Super Bowl. Although Pats could be sneaky good this year. We got to take a break. We're going to be late to get to Chris Harrington. We'll do that. Then we'll do Right or the Right trivia. It is Jeff Calkins Show, 92.9 FM ESPN.
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses like Rise Bakery connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.